I ask that you would speak to us today through my words, but also through the scriptures that we use, and a little help from my friends that are going to speak to us today as well. And I ask that you would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a seminary professor told me never to apologize for a message before you gave it. And he says, because you don't need to. But for those of you who are visiting with us, this is not a stewardship message, even though it smells like it. We've been in a series of messages on the theme of Christ-centered living for 6 weeks, actually, and we have been exploring what it means to live a life with Jesus at the center of our lives. We usually speak of Christ-centered living in contrast to a self-centered life. A self-centered person is mainly concerned with themselves, while a Christ-centered person would be mainly concerned with Jesus and the way he would want them to live. Now, if it were that simple, it would be great. But the truth is, we can have many things at the center of our lives, can't we? We can be self-centered or Christ-centered. We could be money-centered or family-centered or spouse-centered or... Well, I talked about one thing. We could be enemy-centered at times, work-centered, or any number of things that we put at the center of our lives, and that is the eye or the lens which we view the world. So far, we have looked at people who put family, spouse, money, enemies, and work at the center of their lives. Today, we're going to look at people who put possessions at the center of their lives. Now, possessions should be an easy one to deal with because possessions resemble what the Bible talks about as idols more than anything else in our society. Possessions can be an idol of the heart. We can worship the possessions that we have in this life instead of God. We can focus our lives around our possessions. Now, if you'll bring up the first one. Now, I've been using these nebulas and galaxies and stuff to kind of show that God likes to look through things through like circles. This is a spiral galaxy, by the way, and it just kind of shakes into that wheel there. And as you look at that, you got self in the center, but we're moving possessions into the center. We move our possessions into the center of our lives. Obviously, a person who puts possessions ahead of Jesus is not a Christ-centered person. All they see is their possessions. With possessions at the center, everything else is in that peripheral circle around them, and that's how they evaluate everything that they possess or everything that they see in their life through what's at the center. What is a possession? Well, words like possess, possession, possessive, and possessed come from two words in Latin and Greek, and the word possess comes from potus and sedere. And when you put these two words together, they mean power to control. Potus means to be able or to have power, and sedere is the verb to sit, of all things. So put together, it literally means to have the power to sit upon something or someone. Have you ever heard the term? Well, I know that I've said it. If those kids don't quiet down, I guess I'm really going to have to sit on them. That phrase expresses the word possess. Power to control. Possess, then, is something that someone who is owned or occupied or controlled. To be possessed is to be controlled by something or someone. And it carries the idea of domination, holding property, ownership, and control. Now, possessions then are belongings, effects, accessories, trappings, baggage, luggage, furniture, fixtures, machinery, estate, land, legacy, heritage, inheritance again, worldly goods, assets, resources, riches, treasure, property, inventories, paraphernalia, stock, and of course, stuff. I have a friend who's going to tell us about that.
We've been out here a little bit sooner, but they gave me the wrong dressing room, and I couldn't find any place to put my stuff. And I don't know how you are, but I need a place to put my stuff. So that's what I've been doing back there, just trying to find a place for my stuff. You know how important that is. That's the whole meaning of life, isn't it? Trying to find a place for your stuff. That's all your house is. Your house is just a place for your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. That's all your house is. It's a pile of stuff with a cover on it. You see that when you take off in an airplane and you look down and you see everybody's got a little pile of stuff. Everybody's got their own pile of stuff. And when you leave your stuff, you gotta lock it up. Wouldn't want somebody to come by and take some of your stuff. They always take the good stuff. They don't bother with that crap you're saving. Ain't nobody interested in your fourth grade arithmetic papers. They're looking for the good stuff. That's all your house is. It's a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. Now, sometimes you've got to move. You've got to get a bigger house. Why? Too much stuff. You've got to move all your stuff. And maybe put some of your stuff in storage. Imagine that. There's a whole industry based on keeping an eye on your stuff.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. A person who is possession-centered or stuff-centered is a person who is possessive in nature. A possessive person, by definition, is greedy, eager to own, covetous, envious, materialistic, stingy, petty, small, mean, and little. A possession-centered person is also into domination and control. They're clingy, jealous, domineering, overprotective, insecure, anxious, and threatened by anything that stands against their possessive nature. A possession-centered person can disintegrate into gluttony, which is the gross sin of "I have to have that." A possession-centered person is many times also greedy for money. Now, because money helps them possess things and people. Sometimes possession-centered people will work themselves to the bone to get money, to get possessions, things, and power over people. If you move into the second diagram, and would you look at this? Here's looking at you, and this is how we see the world. Whatever's at the center. You see, possessions is in the center of your life there. Notice the four arrows that give identity, which is also self-worth, purpose, balance, and direction in life. And as we look at these four arrows, I want you to recognize that a driving force in some of us is our possessions or desire to have. And it's not only tangible material possessions, such as stylish clothes or homes or cars or boats or jewelry or audio or video equipment, etc., etc., but also such intangible possessions like fame and glory and social prominence and control over people. I know that some men want to control and possess their wives and families. I know that some women want to control and possess their husbands and their kids. I also know that some people in business want to control their employees and dominate them. A possession-centered business, person, church, or organization is into domination. Now, I think most of us can see how terrible a person, group, or business, or church would be with possessions at the center of their lives. But in spite of that, we are, many of us, possessive people, aren't we? The truth is, if we put a possession or possessions at the center of our lives, we can fall apart pretty fast if that possession or possessions are taken away. You look at the four arrows here. If a possession is at the center of our lives, our security, stuff, identity, reputation is in constant threat and jeopardy. They can be lost or stolen. When you're in the presence of someone with greater net worth or fame or status or even intelligence or talent, you can feel inferior. But if you are in the presence of someone with lesser net worth, fame, status, or even talent, you feel superior. Your identity, which houses your security and self-worth, constantly fluctuates based on what you have or what you don't have, and what others have around you. There's no sense of foundation or consistency in your inner self. Your worth is based upon your stuff. Your direction in life, that is, the decisions that you make, are based on what will protect, increase, or even better display your possessions. Anybody here buy a car to be seen in? I won't ask for hands. I'll just tell you mine. I got a red car because I wanted to be able to be seen. Cops really can see red cars. No, I started to do that. I actually bought my first red car in 1970. I like red. Now, but I'm glad I have a red car now because now I know how to find it in parking lots. At my age, you got to be able to, what did I drive? And I can go out there and I can find my car because it's red. But anybody here ever buy a car to be seen in? How about you high school kids? And the cars you drive. When I was in high school, I had to drive my parents' car. I drove a 1960 Studebaker Lark. It's like driving a box down the road. I didn't feel very superior in that. Of course, none of us drive a car just to look good, do we, parents? Let's not kid ourselves. We use our stuff to show off how much we're worth. Self-knowledge is the beginning point in self-understanding. Anyone here get envious of what your neighbor is driving or the house that they are living in? Anyone here go out and buy or build a house in order to make sure you look good in the eyes of the world? Don't kid yourself. Know the truth about yourself, because the truth will begin to set you free to really live. Possession-centered people see the world in terms of comparison, and that comparison most often takes the form of economic life and social status. Possession-centered people function within the limits of what they can buy or social prominence that they can achieve. This is their purpose in life. They feel balanced if they have achieved a certain goal of prominence, either financially or socially or both. Read with me Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Here we go. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Possession-centered people, once they have achieved a certain life goal, will spend the rest of their lives trying to protect and ensure that their assets, properties, securities, position, or reputation is maintained. We have all heard about stories of people who have committed suicide after losing their fortunes in a significant stock decline or loss of fame in a political reversal. I have another friend who's going to show you about how you react when you lose it all.
"And I don't need any of this. I don't need this stuff. And I don't need you. I don't need anything except this. This ashtray. And that's the only thing I need is this. I don't need this or this. Just this ashtray. This paddle, David. The ashtray and the paddle, David. That's all I need. And this remote control. The ashtray and the paddle, David, and the remote control. That's all I need. But these matches. The ashtray and these matches and the remote control and the paddle ball. This lamp. The ashtray. grave. The fellow gave and the remote control has a lamp, and that's all I need. And that's all I need, too. I don't need one other thing. Not what I need this. The battle game of the chair and the remote control and the matches for sure. Well, what are you looking at? What do you think I have, some kind of a jerk or something?
People who lose it all. These people are possession-centered. The irony of all is that we end up being possessed by our possessions. Let me say it again. The irony of it all is that we end up being possessed by our possessions. We have to take care of them and protect them. Our possessions begin to own us. Someone once said, don't own anything that you need to feed or has moving parts. There's a lot of truth in that. If you don't want to end up being possessed yourself. In John, 1 John 5:21, it's a real short verse here. Let's read it together. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Let's read it one more time. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. One more time. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. In a very brief sentence here, John is saying, watch out. Be on guard against anything that might occupy the place in your heart that should be reserved for Jesus. He is saying, keep Jesus at the center of your life and look out for anything that might slip in and take Jesus' place. You know, I personally don't have many temptations to worship evil things. It's the good things that plague me, and which I put on the altar of my soul instead of Jesus occasionally. It isn't very difficult for me any longer to reject something that is obviously bad or wrong, but it is difficult sometimes to keep some good and wholesome things in this life off the throne of my life. For most of us, I think that's where the battle really lies. We continually need to check ourselves and find out if anything has taken over that place in our lives, which is really where the Lord Jesus needs to be. One of those things is our possessions. And I've been talking about a bunch of different things, but possessions. Now, are we so occupied or preoccupied with getting, maintaining, protecting our stuff, our things, our stocks and bonds, our bank accounts, our houses, our cars, our land, that we push Jesus out there on the rim of our life in the peripheral vision? I've got Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 30 printed here, but I want to go through it in sections. So let's read Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22 first. Here we go. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have observed from my youth. And Jesus looked upon him and loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I want you to notice something, a couple of things here. The question is here that the man asks. He asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The man even uses a monetary term to couch his question about eternal life. He says, what must I do to inherit? Notice also that the man is a church leader, a man who is religious. And like many of us, we're religious. He had lived a good life. He also knew how to flatter. He said, good teacher. Jesus caught him in his own idol right here. He said, don't try to flatter me into giving you blessings. Jesus put it in the language of this man's idol. And Jesus spoke through the idol on the man's heart. He said, you get rid of your possessions because they keep you from putting God first in your life. You get rid of all that and follow me. Notice that the man went away filled with sorrow. He wasn't willing to change, and the reason was, as the scripture says, he had great possessions. It says that. He was a man who was possessed by his possessions. He was a man who held too tightly to his treasure, and because of that, his treasure had too tight a grip on him. He was a possession-centered person who was guided in his decisions by getting, maintaining, and protecting his possessions. Read with me the next section here. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with him. With God. The disciples respond. They say, how can anybody be saved then? And Jesus replied, humanity can't get a handle on possessions without some divine help. But God can. But it takes divine action. There's not one of us here today who can really get a handle on our treasures without God's help. Christ-centered living is a living with Jesus at the center of your life and letting Him give you divine help where you need it. We need to let go of our possessions and our possessive nature. We need to have the proper perspective. If you look at those circles, that's like an eye. And the proper perspective is all around the edges, what's there, if Jesus is at the center. The disciples, these are followers of Jesus now. Are you? Are you a disciple of Jesus, led by Jesus? Read with me this last section. Peter began to say to him, lo, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, if you look at that stuff, he goes through all this stuff. You're going to get this stuff back. But you notice also there's another thing that he says in there, and it's at the last verse. It's with persecutions. With persecutions. Jesus does not soft sell serving him. The peril of possessions is that we can't let them go. The peril of possessions is that they end up possessing us. Not only do they possess us, but they choke the life of Jesus in us right out. And They choked the flame of the Spirit and put it out. Read with me Matthew 13:22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. This is part of the story of the sower and the seed that Jesus tells. And in that story, the seed is the word of God, and it falls on different kinds of soil and different kinds of places. So he talks about people who have possessions and who put possessions at the center of their life. And that's what this one is. As for those who are sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. If you are rich and have a lot of possessions to maintain and protect, even if you receive the word of God, I'm saying today, it will be choked out of you because your heart is towards your riches, maintaining, enhancing, protecting those riches. You won't take the time to allow God's word to grow in your life. You just don't have time for it. You don't have time for retreats or Sunday school or church or maybe the great banquet. You don't have time to read the Bible. You don't have time to read books that give you insight and wisdom in living from a Christian perspective. You can't go out and do action for Jesus because you don't have the time. You won't take the time, and any seed you receive then is choked out. This is the peril of possessions. But what if you decide to listen to God? What if? You bring up the last one. And we begin to push the possessions out of the center of our lives, and we allow Jesus to move into the center of our lives. Well, the first thing we heard was to guard ourselves when it comes to possessions. Here also God's command on possessions. It's the second of the Ten Commandments. And it's more than just guarding ourselves from idols, our possessions. It says we need to tear down the idols of our hearts, the possessions that possess us. Read with me Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5, which is in your bulletin. I don't think they're going to put it up there, but you just need to hear it as part of the Ten Commandments. Here we go. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. Notice it says, you shall not bow down to them or serve anything you make. Whether we're talking about money, which has an image on it, a graven image like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or Ben Franklin or Hamilton or Andrew Jackson. That is a graven image. Or a car or a house or stock certificates or whatever. You should not put them at the center of your life. And if they are, then renounce them. Which brings me to the real struggle for wealth. The struggle is between God and your treasures, possessions, money. We are to renounce our treasured possessions as God in our lives, as God, and guard ourselves from letting something new take possession of our hearts. And thirdly, we are to pursue that which is of God. I want to put it to the test, shall we? Jesus told that good churchman who came to him asking what he needed to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, hey, sell it all and follow me. Well, I'm not going to say that. But I am going to say what God has always said to his people. You be a good steward of what God has given you. You be a steward of all 100% of what you have. And you give 10% the tithe to my work in this world. You know, well, you know, Jack, I work with the youth. I sing in the worship band and up here. I come to church. I go to Sunday school. I don't cheat my customers. I don't kill or steal. What must I do more? And God says, tithe. I didn't say it, by the way. Let's see how you go away with that test. Will you do it? Or will you go away saying, well, I'm sorry, God, because you have great possessions. A possession-centered person. Christ-centered living is the pursuit of a life with Jesus at the center of our lives. The best picture of the riches of God is the treasure which we need to have eternal life, which is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 and 45. And let's read it together. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearl. Now I'll read the rest of it to you. Who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. We have a picture here of God's riches at the center of our lives. The treasure is the kingdom of heaven. And this guy finds this treasure, then he hides it again, and he quickly sells everything that he has. He buys the field. Christ-centered living is really like this. Jesus is the treasure. Those who discover his worth as Savior must then sell their lives, so to speak, to keep the treasure. To really possess what Jesus offers is to follow him. You have to do as the guy didn't do who came to Jesus. You have to sell everything that is yours and come under Jesus' lordship. You may not sell everything literally, but to put Jesus as the Lord of your life really requires that you follow him and submit it all to his lordship, and you're just the steward of it. He requires that everything you possess, your money, your stuff, your business, your work, everything is no longer yours, but belongs to him. You no longer own it. You are the steward of that which God has given to you. You have to move from ownership to stewardship in terms of how you see life and what you have. It also means you have to work the field where the treasure is hidden in order to keep the field and the treasure. It means you have to put in the time, you have to put in the energy to learn, to serve, to worship, to give as God commands. Jesus is like that great treasure or a valuable pearl. It takes selling or committing all that you possess to gain and keep and protect that pearl. The possession at the center of our lives requires maintaining, protecting, and enhancing that pearl. And that treasure is Jesus. Christ-centered living is possessing Jesus at the center of our lives. He's the most important possession. And the thing about possessions, whether we are talking about the treasures of this life or whether we're talking about the treasure of Jesus, this is true. Our possessions end up possessing us. If you put Jesus at the center of your life, you end up being possessed by him and all that you are and do and have. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us to know the truth so that we could be set free in this life, that we would be putting you at the center of our lives in all that we do, in all that we are, and all that we have. In his name, amen.